All right. So I feel that an explanation is in order. So the first thing I would like to do is read to you my long list of resume credentials for the topic upon which I'm going to speak. First of all, I am first and foremost always and always will be a farmer. I started out that way off and on, became a farmer at 11 years old, grew up on a dairy farm. I can walk through the field and tell you what we've planted, tell you why it's going to grow a certain way. I can look at heads of wheat and tell you what point they are going along. I like to walk out and pop a soybean pod open and chew on fresh soybeans as we go through the field. I love the smell of silage. When it's time for silo filling, it is one of my favorite scents in the entire world. And quite frankly, the extra odeur of a farm only enhances my sensibilities even more. I am a farmer. I know plants. I know the ground. And on top of that, I was in 4-H. I am agriculturally steeped. I can do horticulture, agriculture. I can sew. Well, at least I used to be able to. I know how to bake. Obviously, I know how to run my mouth in public. And I learned all this. I know how to grow things and when they grow what they are. And further to add to that, I was in the FFA, Future Farmers of America, specializing in ag mechanics, won awards in it, worked in the horticulture yards, grew plants and sold them. So I have a working knowledge of all these things. And when it comes to flowers, let me tell you something. I know flowers, and I can name a wide variety of them. There are red flowers. There are yellow flowers. There are purple flowers. There are white flowers, orange flowers, pink flowers. See, I know my flowers. The only flower I know is roses. Because on occasion I have to give them out. Every husband in this building knows what a rose is. Because on occasion you've done that thing where you got to go, here, honey, this is a little thing for my guilt. It's a beautiful rose. And women are built for that. Oh, well, you don't do this. And they love it. Last Friday, I found myself in a very curious position. I was out on a job site, and I was sitting going through some paperwork when suddenly I just caught this scent. Man, and I turned and looked, and in my rearview mirror was a bush as large as the small vehicle they give me to drive. It was a multifloral rose bush. Now, I know what they are. Again, remember the connection roses? So I backed up to have a look at it. This thing was forever more huge, and it was covered from one side to the other in flowers. I pulled up beside of it. The fragrance coming off of it was incredible. I kept my windows down, and I began to watch God's work. Because I don't need big productions. There was bees all around it. There was honeybees. There was big old bumblebees. There was ants crawling around. And everybody was working. And the bush was alive, and the wind would stir it a little bit, and everything would back up and come in, and the blossoms were full and rich, and this thing had been there for a while and had grown and was beautiful. And I thought to myself, I haven't done anything wrong for a little while, but I'm bound that I'm going to, so I'm going to ask if I can cut some flowers off that thing, take them home to my lovely bride. There's nobody home. I didn't cut any off of it right away. No, I didn't. I just marveled at this bush in the middle of the city where it's chaos all around us. You understand me? 50 feet away, they were jackhammering blacktop. 50 feet behind me, they were cutting steel and welding. Everything around was just noise and craziness. And here's this bush, and I'm marveling over these deep, beautiful flowers. I said, you know what? The weekend's coming. I got to come back to this job. Actually, it was this week. It was the Friday before last, not this past Friday. I said, you know what? I got to come back to this job on Monday because I got to check something on it. I know over the weekend I'm going to do something stupid. That was last weekend. I'm going to get me some of them flowers, and I'm going to get ahead of the game. I'm going to put it in what they call the bank. So Monday, I finally got out there. I pulled up to the bush, and they were all gone. They hadn't been picked. They were done. They had showed their brilliance to the world, to me, on a Friday, and 3 days later was a bush full of dead flowers. The blossoms were over with. And it struck me. And it put me in a frame of mind that set me for the rest of this past week. We are like a flower. We get carried away. We get busy. It's business, business, business. Family, family, family. Go, 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 go. It's how it is. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is we sometimes forget, we lose sight of the very most crucial thing in our world. We are only here like a flower. Amen. We look beautiful. I know I look beautiful at times. And we shine. And we think we do great things. And we live in this world where gotta go here, gotta go there, gotta get this done. And all of a sudden, and I get to be around people now, like my uncles and my father, and people that are past a certain seasoned age. And they all say the same thing. Where did the time go? Man, I'm telling you right now, when I was 13 years old, 16 years of age seemed like it was forever more away. Because that's driver's license. That's when a young man gets freedom. And I was already driving. When you grow up on a farm, that's a natural thing. You're not allowed to sit in the passenger seat. Get up there, boy, drive his truck. I got to load stuff up. And we lived where I lived. The farm was actually out on the county road, and you had to drive down the county road to get it. So at night, I'd just take a truck home and drive up the county road. And on occasion, I was allowed to drive, 13, 14 years old, around the county roads in the truck. But at 16, I'm going to be a free man. And I thought it would never get here, and suddenly it got here. When I turned 16, got my driver's license, you know what happened? I wasn't a free man. Do you know why? Because my mother and father were like, go pick this up, go get that, go do this. Can you run over and get this? I need you to take care of that. Why is the car, blah, 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 blah. I just want to drive. At 16, I thought 21 was forever more away. At 16, I couldn't even fathom 50 years age. Couldn't even think about it. And now I'm 49 years old. Now I'm 50. Richard L. Evans said the tragedy of life is not that it ends too soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. And that's the thing we do sometimes. Christians, sometimes we forget that on our short spin on this mud ball, that we have a job to do. That we have something to proclaim. That we have something to give away. That we have something that is so exciting and so vibrant and so alive that we just cannot get over it. And yet, we plot and we plan and it gets away. When I looked at that bush after it had done its work, I was broken inside. Because I couldn't believe how fast it changed. We have a lilac bush out in the front yard that my wife cut off of my aunt's lilac bush, which is bigger than the Empire State Building. And we was going to grow lilacs, baby, because Wendy loves lilacs. We're going to have them all through the house. Man, they're going to smell so great. How long has that thing been in the ground? 12 years. We finally got our first lilac. This year. I even tried to mow that thing down twice. We finally got our first lilac. Well, we actually got 7 of them over the whole bush. Bush is big, give 7 flowers. The house smelled a little bit like lilacs for about 60 seconds. The curious thing is, when you consider how big that bush is and how long it's been there and how it's just now starting to flower, I don't know what it's going to do next year. I can look at that like a Christian who becomes saved, who becomes well within the Word, who becomes lifted up, and they put this great thing inside their body. I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ. I'm lifted up. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I listen to Christian radio. I'm going to sing Christian songs. I've got a portrait on my wall of the Reverend Billy Graham. And when you go to work, you don't talk about it. You don't say anything about it. When you're around other people, you don't say much. On Sunday morning, man, look at me, here I am. And you're so happy to be here. You're like that old lilac bush. It's time to bloom. It's time to go. It's time to get it out there. Because we are only here for a short time. I chose today's scripture because it made absolutely no sense against the sermon title. Until I get a hold of it, and let's talk about it. Go back to that scripture for a moment. Paul, you ain't making no sense yet. No, I usually don't till about halfway through the sermon. Everybody that has ever read this scripture all says the same thing. We should be saved, otherwise we're going to hell. That is the basic bottom line to this scripture. But it's not. Jesus Christ did not tell this story to remind you of what a terrible place hell is. We all know that. He didn't lay this parable out. He didn't give this scripture out to the people that were listening to it just so that they would understand that they have to believe in Jesus. At least I don't read it that way. I read it this way. You have a short time. What are you going to do with it? The whole thing starts off right at the beginning in verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen. That's the beginning of reminding you how short our time is. Seriously, think about it. Look in that parking lot out there. Anybody here walk to church? Alan's rode a horse to church because it's fun to do. You don't have to do it anymore because you have an air-conditioned car. Right? Say amen. And they're nice-looking cars. How many people in this room remember when you rode to church in a car with wing windows on it? Because there wasn't no air conditioning. There you go. Put them up. 1966 Pontiac right here. We had an air conditioner. Ask my father. Would you mind turning that thing on? It's hot back here. If you'd keep your mouth shut and the window down, you wouldn't cook. And he'd always aim the wing window at him. If he'd just turn that crank a little more, it would have gone past him to me. How many people in this room lived in a house without air conditioning? You're right. What'd you do at night? You opened the windows up, didn't you? You put a big fan on you. You put a cool rag on your head. Now, how many people in this room got air conditioning in your house? Oh, yeah. It's fine. We're rich. And we've gotten to that point. But our lives are just like a flower. Let's go on a little bit further. Lived in luxury every day. Do you realize that by our standards, we are, according to the rest of the world, not your neighbor, but according to the rest of the world, we are rich beyond our wildest imagination. At his gate was laid a beggar. Lazarus was laid there. Sores, probably boils. May even have been that bad word. What's that one that everybody talks about where your body parts fall off? Come on, you guys know it. That's right, leprosy. And at his gate is the key point in this whole beginning to that series of scriptures. Jesus Christ is at his gate. Now let me stop you. We're the rich people. We have a gate. There's a beggar at our gate. How do you get outside of your property? You go in and out the gate, right? You see that? Would you think you'd see that? We have two doors on our house. We have to go in and out them doors. Every time you go out the door, something's going on. You notice that kind of stuff. Rich man walked by. Lazarus lay in there begging. Brothers and sisters, the gate is the salvation of Jesus Christ that we have been given, that we can go in with and out with and show it. And the people around us are the Lazarus laying there. We live but for a short time like a flower with this great treasure. The beggar dies. Now, according to Jesus Christ, he believed. And so he went to heaven. Great hymn. We've got to... Where's Anna Lee? Hallelujah Square. Get that ready. It's up there? We need to get the words to it. Oh, I love that song. I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. What a wonderful time we'll all have up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus with glory to spare. There'll be no more sorrow in Hallelujah Square. And the three men, or three people in that, was a cripple, a blind man, and I cannot for the life of me remember the third one. But anyhow, they all walked and shouted when they got there. And so the beggar is in heaven at Father Abraham's side. Who does Father Abraham, who's the father of all of us all underneath of God? Father Abraham had many sons, sir.
I was just singing that song.
And so he's standing. Jesus paints a picture of glory. And there he stands next to Father Abraham. Better, well, complete, whole, righteous. Rich man dies. And the Bible says went to hell. I'm going to stop you right there and talk to you for a moment. If there ain't a clearer picture of the fact that hell is real, right here in that scripture. Rich man also died and was buried in hell where he was in torment. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say, look, there ain't really no heaven, there ain't really no hell. There's a lot of people that say we live in hell right now. I'm sorry, folks. There is an up and a down. And if you don't believe and you don't make your commitment, you're going one of them two directions. In hell, he was in torment. And then Jesus lays out the story of how we are on this earth, but for a short time, holding a treasure. He wants Lazarus to come down there and touch his finger. Just give me a cool drink. Just touch the tip of my tongue. I'm in agony, and I'm burning, and I'm burning, and I'm burning, and I can't go on with it. And Abraham says, no, it ain't possible. Number one, it ain't allowed. Big chasm right here. I can't go over. You can't come to me. Well, send him over to my brothers. I don't want my brothers to go through this. They're on the downward side. Their time is coming. What do you want me to send over there to them? Send Lazarus. I can't send him. Why would you want me to send him? Because if he would listen, if he would show up, they would listen. Abraham says, but you've got Moses, you've got the prophets, you've got everything right there. We have told you from the beginning of time that you have to make a choice, and you chose wrong. But he'll listen. If he shows, look, man, if a ghost, and I don't believe in him, sorry, one only, Holy Ghost. If a ghost appeared right here in front of me, I might have a moment to listen to what he had to say. Abraham says, no, they won't even listen to him. If they won't listen to what's right in front of them, they're not going to listen to him. And they're doomed. We are on this earth but for a short time. We are on this earth but for a short time. We are laid out. And too often, we don't see the signs as we're passing them that we're reaching that point. You know how many people I know that have told me, well, maybe one day I'll get saved, when I've talked to them about, oh, what day is that going to be? I'd like to write that down. Why? Because I want to know exactly what day it is. Why? Because then I'll be back. But you don't know what day it is. Well, it's okay. I have time. General William Nelson, a Union general in the Civil War, was consumed with the battles in Kentucky. When a brawl ended up in his being shot fatally, mortally, he was shot in the chest. He had faced many battles, but the fatal blow came while he was relaxing with his men. As such, he was caught fully unprepared. As men ran up the stairs to help him, the general had just one phrase: "Send for a clergyman. I wish to be baptized." He'd never had time as an adolescent or young man. He'd never had time as a private or after he became a general. And his wound did not stop or slow down the war. Everything around him was left virtually unchanged except for the general's priorities. With only minutes left before he entered eternity, the one thing he cared about was preparing for eternity. He wanted to be baptized. 30 minutes later, he was dead. Like a flower. Like a flower. In James 1, the 9th verse, James writes these little bit of words. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why do we need to be quick to listen? Because the people that are out there are dying to hear the word. They don't know it yet. And those who carry the word for a short time can give it away. There's a poem that says, "What happened to time? When I was a child, I laughed and wept and time crept. When a youth, I dreamed and walked, talked and time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I grew older, time flew. Soon I shall find it traveling on, time gone." Time gone. So what does this all mean? Why am I on such a plane with this right now? Because frankly for me, when I look at that bush, I take stock in my own life. It is a reminder that we have this great gift and so many don't give it out. Timid, afraid, not sure. Why should I say something? How do I say something? Because we have this great gift, it makes us the rich man. And it makes the world that doesn't know it the beggars. Because we have this great gift, we are commissioned, burdened, desirous, driven, led to give it away. So that I may talk to you about Jesus Christ. So that I may make sure that you know exactly where I stand and what I stand for and why I do it. Because I don't know when my end time comes. They make a joke about me at work sometimes that when I wake up in the morning and my feet hit the ground, the devil goes, "Oh golly, he's awake again." Now me, I think I'm going to live to be, like Jiminy Cricket said, I'm going to live to be 103 because I'm good like that. But I don't know. Tomorrow could be my last day. My hour could come later on today. Job chapter 14. "Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure. Do you fix your eye on such a one? Will you bring him home before your judgment?" Down in verse 7, "At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail." In that little blurb of Scripture, we are being told that we are going to wither away. But what we give out to a new stump can grow again and again and again and again. You know what I learned? I learned that when them plants die, when them flowers die and they drop down in the ground, they rot and become food for the next flowers. We only have a short time, folks. We're only here for a couple of minutes. We need to make sure that we are giving out everything we can when we can. I will never stand up here and say to you that it's a sin to have a nice car or house or air conditioning or a shed full of tractors. I will never sin. I will never judge you for that. What I will remind you of is that the greatest gift of all is the fellow that died on that tree and saved our lives. And we don't have to worry about if we give it away, we lose it. We grow, we gain. In January 1988, Time provided an insight on selfishness. That's the question I asked myself. Am I caring enough? Am I sharing enough? Speaking about the introduction of the video cassette recorder, the article said the company had made a crucial mistake. While at first Sony kept its beta technology mostly itself. Anybody in here remember when the video cassette recorder first came out? Remember everything was beta at the beginning, the little smaller ones? Beta was much better. JVC, the Japanese inventor of the VHS format, shared its secret with a bunch of other firms. And as a result, the market was overwhelmed by sheer volume of the VHS machines being produced. This undercut Sony's share, and Sony lost 40% of the market, and by 1987, a year later, only had 10% of it. Sony jumped on the VHS bandwagon and tried to catch up. Even in this cutthroat business, sharing had its rewards. That's our job. We're here like a flower. We ain't going to be here for very long, so share, 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 share. Share the name of Jesus Christ. Share the gospel. Not because it looks good on paper. Not because when you get to the pearly gates, you're going to get a whole bunch more pats on the back and attaboys. A big fancy preacher dressed in a double-breasted suit, man, he led this gigantic church. Thousands upon thousands came into his church every Sunday. And he goes walking up to the gates. Going to meet up with St. Peter. I've done my work. Going to get my reward. And walking alongside of him is this old shabbily dressed bus driver. Had to hitch his pants up. Got his work shoes on. They're walking along up there and the gate opens. St. Peter walks out. And he goes, Pastor, so good to see you. We're glad to know you. It's good to see you. Come on in. Here's your crown. Go on down that way. Pastor walked in, stepped inside, adjusting his crown, and heard St. Peter go, Raymond, man, come on in here. And suddenly a band struck up, and people started cheering and carrying on, and they cloaked him in a big fancy purple cloak, and they put a big crown on him, and they put a ring on him, and they just carried on, and they kissed him, and everybody was loving on him, and they picked him up, and they carried him all the way into heaven. Right past the pastor. He walked there and said, what in the world? Look what all I did. St. Peter said, I'm going to tell you something. He had a big church with a lot of souls in it. And he drove a bus. And every day he drove a bus, more people prayed to get into heaven than they did at your church. It is not for us to share the gospel because it is a good-looking thing. It is us to share the gospel because there's young lives, middle lives, and old lives out there that are going to die. And it should break your heart that they do not know Jesus Christ. Someone somewhere wants it, is ready for it, needs it. Fritz Kreisler was born in 1875, died in 1962. He was the world's most famous violinist, earned a fortune with concerts and compositions, and gave most of it away to charity. So when he discovered an exquisite violin on one of his trips, he wasn't able to buy it. He didn't have the money. Later, having raised the money to meet the asking price, he returned to get the instrument and found that it had been sold. To his great dismay, it had been sold to a collector. Chrysler made his way to the new owner's home and offered to buy the violin. The collector said, "It was my most prized possession. There is not enough money on earth that can buy it." Disappointed, Chrysler was about to leave when he said, "Look, before you put this thing in a glass case, never to be heard again, could I just play it once?" The collector said, "Okay." And as Chrysler played this thing, the room became so filled with the beauty of his music that the collector sat down and openly wept, crying what he was about to do. And at the end of the concert, as Chrysler handed it back to him, the collector said, "There is no way I can keep this from the world." And gave it to him and said, "Take it into the world and let the people hear it." Brothers and sisters, we have got to remind ourselves every minute of every day that we are on a short time here. We're like a flower. There was beauty. It was there for a moment and then gone. But what we can leave behind is immeasurable. We cannot come back from where we are going once we leave here. Be it heaven, be it hell. We can only simply do what we're commissioned to do while we're here. And give it all away. I just want to know that the day I walk through those gates, that I did everything I could. I want you all to feel that same fullness. I want you all to be reminded of it. I want you all to be known to be counted as Christians, to stand up and shine the light of the world. And so to you, I add this in again. Yet Richard Evans, once again, the tragedy of life is not that it ends too soon, but that we take too long to begin it. We pass from this earth. It is not the end. It's only the beginning. And so if you're in this room tonight and you have not given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you do not know the Savior, if you are struggling with that, then I beg you, start living now. Come to know Him now. Because we are like a flower. And we don't want to be on the other side looking up. May God add His blessings to these words. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, touch the hearts in here today. Strengthen them for the work that must be done and let them go forth accordingly. If there is those in here that are struggling, that do not know your Son, that have questions, let them ask. Let them unlock their hearts and look for that joy. Let us give this rich gift freely, every chance we get, because it will come right back. Our time here is beautiful, but short. I pray, Father, that we would touch and touch and touch. And I pray for those who have not come to accept your Son yet, that you would work on them, that you would lean on them, that you would lead them to people who are there, who can talk to them, who can work with them, who can lead them, who can hold them, Father, before the beauty of the flower fades. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we come to this last hymn, as we come to this last song, this moment, the bench is open. I am here. If you need me, if you just need to drop it, please join us. May God bless each and every one of you.